Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Listen, it's going to be really hard for me, but I'm willing to take the L and to boycott Tarkov until this man gets his cap.
Wait, you would
take,
do
I'll
that?
I'll take it for the team.
You would do that for this guy?
I would do that for him. You know, I'm not a coward, okay? I've got principles. I'm willing to take one for the team, and I'll boycott Tarkov.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast, a show dedicated to talking about all the poggers things in life, like music, content creation, and video games. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jesse Kazam.
And I'm full.
Full.
I just scarfed my Panera bread, dude. Holy shit.
What did you get? What's the order from Panera?
You pick two.
Yeah.
Because it's the perfect amount of food.
Yeah.
And I get the bacon turkey Bravo.
Yes, dude!
Now I get no tomato.
Okay, I'll accept it.
Because I don't fuck with tomato unless it's in ketchup form. the chicken noodle soup. Dude, their newer chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
They recently switched over to like a bone-based broth.
Mmm. I'm a fan. It's
way better than it was like 3 years ago.
I like their tomato bisque a lot as well. Broccoli cheddar's kind of a staple, but... You know, it's all right.
They're like corn chowder is also really
good. Oh, I don't think I've had that actually.
It's extremely good. Yeah, it's a little spicy.
Dude, I think Panera, a little underrated. It's expensive, which is, I think, why it gets kind of the hate, because it is kind of pricey. But I genuinely like Panera's food. Everybody calls it glorified hospital food, which is...
What?
Anything?
It's high quality, fresh. It's always. I've never had a Panera order that was screwed up.
Yeah.
Literally, the only thing that varies with Panera is sometimes the bread has like a lot of the. It's got like brown sugar, kind of like caramelized
yes,
around the crust.
I like that.
And
stuff.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's it. Otherwise, it's always fresh. It's never gross. I've never found fucking hair in my
yeah,
food. There's
no.
Never. It's.
I like Panera. I think it's good. You know what's crazy? Me and my wife talk about this all the time. The You Pick Two is the greatest marketing hack of all time. Because it's not cheaper. It's like a sandwich is $8 and a bowl is $8 and the You Pick Two is just like $16. Like the math, like I guess you just get half a sandwich and that's $4. Like they never say it's cheaper, but it's all there to like make you think like, oh, I can get half of this and half of that. And it's like a little like meal. And then it's always like $16. And it's just like, we just got
interesting.
They just debate you into being like, pick two full entrees and pay for it. You idiot. And I always do, bro. I always
weird.
Do.
Yeah. I don't know. I never thought about it like it was a deal. I always thought about it like.
But
you
it's
know,
good.
A cup of soup and half of a sandwich
yeah.
and like chips and a baguette or whatever is just the right amount. Like I
it
wouldn't
is the
be
right amount
eat,
of food. It is
yeah,
the right
I
amount of
be
food.
Able to eat a full sandwich and a full soup.
Yeah, but it's good. Do you remember the whole like charged lemonade thing that happened like last
people,
year? Bro?
People, someone like died or
like
something.
Four people, dude.
Yeah, no, that was questionable on their part for sure.
It was because it was like it said that they were caffeinated, but I think the thing that got them in trouble was that like they made instead of telling you the exact amount of caffeine, like you could look up the nutrition facts, but like on the like lemonade, it was giving it to you in cups of coffee. It was like this is relatively equal to two cups of coffee, and that was wrong. Like the amount of
because it was like a fucking tall monster.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the amount of caffeine was the same amount of caffeine as a 16-ounce monster and an 8-ounce Red Bull in a large. And lemonade is like a refill drink. I'll drink a whole one while I'm eating and then go get a refill. You know what I mean?
And the types of people that'll have like
crazy,
like a, they would be the kind of vegan-esque, all natural,
yeah,
you know, whatever. They wouldn't be the ones to drink a monster, right?
So 250 milligrams of caffeine just sucker punching you in the face. And if you didn't know and you drank two or three of them, they were tasty, though. All three of them were really tasty. I had them many times.
I wish I had known, because I never got to try one. I just heard about...
Yeah, they were good.
When the first lady died or whatever because she had, like, a heart condition.
Yeah.
But, bro, so speaking of that, there's a couple other little sagas that I feel like are interesting enough to talk about.
Yeah.
The quick one is... I wrote swimmer DQ. Do you have any idea?
No.
Not about
Dairy
Queen.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I just saw this yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was... It probably was on like YouTube Shorts or something. So there was a... I don't know the details. Who, what, where, why, or when. It was...
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Olympics, if it was college, whatever. But some competitive swimmer... Actually, I think they were younger, so it probably was... Not Olympics. I don't know.
High school or college or something.
Competitive swimmer got college. Yeah. Okay. So he won the race.
Yep.
Now the person, I believe you can compete against other people from your own like school, kind of people on your team. He won, and like was way out ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And he was like super excited. Was like celebrating in his like lane, and the guy next to him was his buddy and teammate that came in second.
Yeah,
and he like hopped over the barrier to like give him a hug and to like celebrate. And after the race was over and they were like announcing the result, they disqualified him because it's against the rules to like go over into another person's lane before the race is over.
Yeah. They got him for, like, interfering with a racer is, like, technically the rule. But the guy that he hopped in his lane, it was his buddy, had finished the race and had come in second. Yeah.
So he got, and it was like, you know, he'd gotten a fucking gold medal or whatever. And it was, and I think his teammate, out of, like, solidarity, was like, I'm going to give him the medal. Like,
yeah.
And even the like the woman like caster or whatever was like, that's not right. Like, I'm a stickler for rules, but that's fucking stupid. It's so fucking stupid. And I didn't know if there was like anybody who thought.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's one of those rules where like, you know, you got to draw a line somewhere, and I get why it's there, but it was crazy. Like,
that would be one of those things
like waited till the dude was done.
I would wait and see if, like, one of the other coaches complained or something.
Yeah.
Then that would be enough. Like, as a judge, I wouldn't go out of my way to say he broke the rules. But maybe if some douchebag coach, because at least the coach would then get knocked out, you know, by, like, the dad in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As opposed to the judge or whatever for being, like, a dickhead. But, like... That's one of those things that I don't know, man. Unless there's like an Uber Karen coach on the other team.
Yeah.
I have a hard time thinking that anybody would be like, disqualify this guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anybody involved, did anybody in the race, was anybody happy about that? Because it's like no other school got to win, right? It was like the same school. His buddy won. So that school still took home the gold. So it's like, I wonder, like, anybody was happy about that. Like, it just
seems weird.
They
probably didn't even notice.
Yeah, honestly.
I used to be on the swim team. I was the 8-and-under backstroke state champion.
Oh, my God.
8-and-under.
Some Veritas lore.
My little blue Speedo. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just picturing all the pictures I have as a child. You wouldn't fucking, you wouldn't notice what was going on. You'd get to the end, you'd get up, you'd start looking around, you'd wonder like what the, you know, like what was the result.
Yep.
Nobody would care. I don't know. It's just fucking.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. I remember seeing that. It blew up. Yeah. Weird.
So, okay. So then the other one was the Queen Pwnzalot saga. I might have mentioned it briefly. Where she was a kind of new streamer. I think before this whole thing, she had like 50 followers. She was the one that killed this like decently challenging dragon boss in Monster Hunter.
Oh, is this the one Carl Johns made? Okay. I haven't seen his video yet. So
yeah, like a super quick rundown. Basically, she did this thing. And then like in her Discord, it was basically like the kind of cringiest like simp moderator, like she's our queen, everybody go and spread this to Asmongold subreddit so that he could see it and respond to it, and it like worked. He ended up responding to it, said how awesome it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody made a video accusing her of cheating. He reacts to that and going, oh shit. You know, that's sketchy. I think she probably didn't do it legit. That sucks. She then does a response video. He reacts to that. And after her response video, he's like, oh, like clear cut, like she's innocent.
Oh,
crazy.
My God.
And I only saw a little bit, and I don't know anything about Monster Hunter, but I like, and then Carl came out with his video saying, like, right after, I saw it after I had watched the like video where she kind of debunked the cheating allegations.
Okay.
And I had gone back and forth and I'm like, oh, okay, she's innocent. Like, that's sick. And then Carl released his video and I was almost worried that like, I'm like, dude, you released your video like right when this all like.
Like, you know, what if you're wrong and you release the video?
What if you jumped the gun?
Yeah.
You know, and you were working on it before you realized whatever. So I actually like had the, I'm like, are you sure? You know, like, because maybe he didn't know, you know, there's a world in which like he released it, didn't know. And like,
especially if it took him a while to make the video and he was making it before some of the stuff came out. It's not unreasonable to think that maybe there was some context missing.
Yeah. So what he said was, and I'll read it. He said, oh, I basically said, but do you think there's any way she's actually legit? And he goes, nope. And I already know how she cheated the second one, because what she did was, she went and did it again, because the original allegations was that she could see through the blindfold. It was like a very thin kind of scarf.
Oh, OK.
That was like loosely on her head. She could see through it.
OK.
But
then she did it again to be like, look.
Then she did it again with like a super like it's the. It's basically a sleep mask,
yeah.
Which
okay.
is the blindfold that all the blindfolded speedrunners use.
Oh, okay.
She did it. So when she did it again, she had her. You could see two monitors on her setup. She had sheets of paper covering the monitors. She had a hand cam. She had her normal cam. She had an input monitor for her mouse and for her keyboard. And she did it again.
Okay. So at that point, you're like, all right.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, you know. And she explained a bunch of the anomalies and whatever. And then at the end of Carl's video, he basically said, and in like a week from now, I'm going to come out with my like smoking gun evidence. And after that, I'm like 99% sure she cheated.
Dang. Oh, so in the his video... he doesn't come out with the smoking gun evidence. He just says, I'm going to follow up with the smoking gun.
He does an analysis that's basically like, so here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever seen any blindfold speedrunning, but blindfold speedrunning is basically based off of, almost always based off of predetermined consistent setups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like, you know, if it's deterministic where like you always start in one area, you run forward, you like hit a wall that's kind of slanted and you keep going. And then once you stop, you like hit the corner.
Yeah.
You'll hear like a little thud or you'll hear like your feet moving differently. And then, you know,
yep.
You tap like left, left. And then that lines you up with the pole. You run until you hit the pole. You hear the thing. You know, it's like very.
Yeah, for sure.
Ritualistic.
That makes sense.
Because
you're blindfolded.
And almost always, if you do blindfolded stuff in games like Sekiro or Dark Souls or whatever, they primarily rely on using like a lock-on. Like you can just hit a button and it locks on, right?
Yeah,
you strafe around. She didn't use a lock-on. And so what Carl's original video is basically saying, what she did is completely not possible and her explanations were bullshit. Because she, the whole time... Like, normally what happens if you don't do that, what ends up happening is your camera, you're, like, looking straight up or, like, straight down.
Yeah.
But, like, your left and right is still consistent because you can't – there's no vertical axis, right? You know how hard it is in, like, Tarkov to – well, imagine there's just, like, a dragon in front of you. How are you going to know if his head is 20 feet or, you know, 3 feet or whatever? But she was basically, like, turning towards the dragon, hitting it in the head. And it was constantly centered on screen as if she was looking.
Interesting.
Like, which is like, if you're blind, you don't need the dragon to be on camera.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the funny part about blindfolded speedruns is that, like...
They look weird to watch?
They're a lot of them, in a lot of games, they're just not good to watch because the camera's irrelevant.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh, I can do it based on the sound. I've done it 8,000 times or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And a bunch of people came out and were like, no, she didn't do it that way.
That is fascinating.
So his initial thing was basically saying how it was impossible. But I know how she did the second one.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how she could have done it?
Me? No. I mean, I've played Monster Hunter as well. So like.
Oh, do you know, like, if I name the boss?
Probably not.
Okay.
I have no idea.
So...
Unless she played, like, an MP4 and pretended to...
No, and you can tell from, like, the input, like, she had really low sense, but you could tell she was playing, hitting the buttons and whatever. But the second time around was, like, even more blatant that her camera was, like, whatever. Well... What we saw from the initial videos, there was a lot of context, like before and after, that was missing. But Carl, basically, his analysis showed the whole thing, what you see that she does is basically pretend like she's like setting everything up, looking under the thing to try to make sure the game's all good or whatever, and talking to chat and saying some weird stuff. She puts the thing down, and then what she does is she goes, you see the mouse, go and click on something, and then hold down mouse one. And move to the right. And then after that, she's all of a sudden keeps looking over here multiple times. And is responding to chat messages over on... She never said she had a third monitor.
Okay.
And at one point, she even like realizes, she like answers a question, then realizes like, oh, fuck. And then like... looks under the second monitor where her OBS is and everything, like, or was, you know, used to be before, and like pretends like she's like, oh, what did you say? What was, you know, it's like total damage control after the fact. She basically just had OBS running on her second thing. And then with that blindfold, you can like with your head at a particular angle, you can just see through the nose thing.
Oh, and so she was looking at her OBS preview.
She was just looking at the OBS window. So she was playing. And there's like no delay, not enough that it would be relevant, right?
No, yeah.
So,
whoa.
Her first blindfolded run, she was like this, but you could still see through it, right?
Yeah.
The second one, she was like this, which is like looking through. And a bunch of speedrunners who play the game, they literally reproduce the same thing with the blindfold on, looking normal. At one point, one guy was playing, what's that BR? There's like a bunch of slide. Canceling and it's all
like Apex?
Super fast. Apex. It was Apex. And he was like at the shooting range, blindfolded, going like boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot. He's like, both of his monitors were off. And he's like, takes the camera. He's like, because I have OBS on my third monitor.
That's crazy.
So, of course, it's not definitive 100% put a gun to my head proof.
Yeah.
But then at the end of, so Asmongold reacted to that video.
Carl's?
And was like, yeah, and was like, damn, like caught red-handed. And then at the end of his video, there's like 40 minutes where the like simp mod and other people from like her Discord get in a call with him and try to defend
with
her.
With Carl?
No, Asmongold.
With Asmon.
And he probably had 20, 30,000 viewers. And basically try to explain, and it's the most...
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Embarrassing. He was like, I know for a fact she couldn't have. I've seen her do it in person, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he actually, like, he was... I don't know exactly the details, but it seemed like he kind of leaked that there was a third monitor.
Oh, really?
He was like, yeah, but because her third monitor, blah, blah, blah. He's like, so that she did have a third monitor. Because she never said that she had a third monitor. But like the mouse, like when you click mouse one and you move, you're clicking and dragging windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, why would she be looking here, answering chat, like all of this circumstantial shit?
Dude.
And it was so embarrassingly bad.
It's like
bad.
The Billy Mitchell thing, but just like turned to 11. You know, except
it's like full on. It has all of the. Like, I would never say this to, like, random anyone, like, apropos of nothing, but the whole, like, simp Discord moderator complex.
Yeah.
Where you I just got the vibe, like, he's, like, in love with her.
Yeah.
And has to,
it's
like
the Billy Mitchell situation with those two guys, but more like, chronically online. Like, that situation, but taken to the online degree.
Yeah. And he had an answer for everything, you know, like there's no doubt in my mind. And he was like, well, then why was she sitting with her head up, whatever? And he's like, her stress response, like that's a normal stress response. He's like, what? People respond differently. I'm a physician. Like, fucking get out of here.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
God, it was so cringy. Oh, my God. It was literally. Yeah,
that's wild.
But it's like the biggest fucking. It was like, have you ever seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
Literally watching this saga was like watching 10 Cloverfield Lane. And you're like, the guy's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
There was an alien attack. Or there wasn't an alien attack. Oh, no, wait. He's serious. It actually happened. No, wait. He's totally out of his fucking mind. No, wait. It didn't happen. No, wait. He did.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good movie. Dude, you just have to like. You just have to have. Like some balls to fake something on the internet now. You know what I mean? Like I would never get to this point, but getting to a point where I have a finished video of a cut of me cheating at something and doing really well, I feel like I would just be trembling over the post button. You know what I mean? Like you just have to be on some crazy stuff to just like, post that. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, the internet will find you.
I'm glad that she was a new content creator. Because like, I don't know how you go come back from that. Like you can't go live. Like there's no way she's been live since then.
I bet
you know
she
what
has,
I mean? Like
dude.
There'd be tens of thousands of people just coming in and shitting all over you. Like you're canceled, right? Like it's over.
Yeah.
And you know what the sad thing is that like in the 1% chance that she's actually innocent, it's unfortunate, but she did it to herself.
Yeah.
Because if you were gonna try to prove it that you didn't cheat by doing it a second time. You have to remove all doubt.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You can't just put paper over it. Like, you have to remove all doubt.
Because that's, well, honestly, this is such an easy thing to prove. Like, even if you, like, you did it and then people are like, oh, you did that. Like, oh, well, I'll do it with this blindfold. And if people are like, well, no, because you did that. It's like, just do it again. keep doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all she has to do is then get some, like, crazy, like, really sealed thing, get a third person in the room, put a camera farther back to hide. Like, it's really, like, in this case, there are some cases that get weird. In this case, it would be unbelievably easy to show you're innocent and almost a little five head to, like, leave some doubt in if you really are doing it, because it would generate crazy virality. And then you could just bust out the, like, camera behind, no monitors, people in the room covering, and do it, and it would go nuts. But if, yeah, like, that's the line. This is how analog it is, literally just blindfolded, makes it easy to prove you're innocent. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when the suddenly toast stuff got weird, because it was like the thing said like DMA and everyone thought that was this, but then he deleted it. But then that was like a driver that all Ryzen things have. And that information got so weird and some people took different things from it. But this, it's so analog. It's so like, just blindfold yourself better and do it again. Because if you can't, that's sus. You know, like,
you see the hard part is there's two pieces to it. That was actually what this guy was begging for. He was her simp mod was begging for. She'll tell us what tell us what we need to do, and we'll do it. She'll prove that she can do it. And I actually commented on the video.
Yeah,
I commented on Asmongold's video, which I should be able to actually just find, right? Where? Let me see. Yeah. So what I wrote was, her doing it again, quote unquote, under more controlled circumstances is not proof she did it legitimately. Billy Mitchell and his cronies used the same logic. Quote, he did his scores live years later. That proves he's innocent. That's simply untrue.
Yeah.
Doing it later legitimate, even if you could, does not prove you did it legit previously.
True.
And that's
very
the crux
true.
Of the dilemma. At this point, it's not about whether or not she could possibly do it. She could spend the next 6 months practicing, get better, and actually do,
and
it,
do it,
right?
Yeah.
But it's about whether or not she lied about doing it. It's not about whether she could.
True.
It's about whether she lied. And basically I finished it with saying, being labeled a cheater is not about skill. It's about honesty.
Mm.
Plenty of people are capable. It's the whole Carl Jobs quote around cheaters. They don't cheat to get a faster score. They cheat to get a score faster.
Ooh.
Most of the people are capable of getting the records. They just don't grind 10,000 runs. They cheat, so they do it after 300.
That's good. They don't cheat to get a faster score. They cheat to get a score faster.
Yeah, so like, that whole argument, it's like she missed the boat. She had one chance to prove it, and then now it sucks, because if she's innocent, it's her fault that she...
Yeah.
That she did not do everything in her power to get rid of all doubt.
Yeah.
And I forget what the other thing I was going to say was, but yeah,
that's true. I mean, that's a good point.
Oh, right. I was talking about, I'm glad that she's a small streamer, because I feel like her career is kind of over.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are like, suddenly Toast is still streaming. Yeah, but nobody takes him seriously. He's never going to be like a deadly slob.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he'll never be a big respected name after this whole thing. And I don't think that she would be able to either. And it makes me feel less bad if she had like 15,000 viewers, she had like a momentary lapse in judgment, then tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe made a couple mistakes. Cause like, I can empathize with, I remember being a kid.
Yeah.
You lie. The moment that gut reaction to lie the second time to cover it up, now you're in too deep and you have to stick to it.
Yeah, yeah,
it's hard after the, are you sure you're not lying to me? Yes. Well, now you can't.
Now you're committed.
Yeah, you're committed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but if she had 15,000 followers, she was, you know, partnered, and this was like her livelihood. But man, she's new to this whole thing. Like,
yeah,
go back to doing whatever the fuck she was doing, and, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that.
Damn. That's crazy. I didn't realize it was that like wild of a story, because I remember you saying last week you were excited about Carl's new video on the subject, and I don't even think I'd seen a video on it. I just heard about it, and so that's wild. That is wild.
Yeah, I'll throw the video in the chat. Everybody should check out Carl's video. He just hit a million subs.
Oh, shoot. That's sick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sick. Congrats, Carl Jobs.
A milli.
So what's going on in fucking Tarkov land, dude?
Pain and suffering. No, I'm just kidding. So you skip from Tarkov. So actually, before we before the arena, I know last week's episode was basically all about arena. Before that wipe, like a few days before, Tarkov actually redid. So they did that patch, and then it messed everything up, and they rolled the patch back. And we talked about how, like, I'm sad they rolled it back because some things were actually really good in that patch. Well, they redid that patch. So 14.1.1, that was like their second attempt to do it. So a lot of the stuff, they messed with armor. So, like, rework the damage through layers of armor. Now when each layer is penetrated, the bullet loses some penetration power and damage depending on the characteristics of penetrated armor. That sentence is weird because that sounds like exactly how it's always worked. Fix an issue with missing blunt damage when hitting a ballistic plate. Blunt damage now decreases when the soft armor behind the when there is soft armor behind an unpenetrated component. Adjusted the head colliders, like the ears and eye hitboxes. They did some stuff. Some of it, so like there was a little bit of testing on, like, it felt like the armpit hitbox got shrank and the ear hitbox got shrank a little bit, like how sometimes you could be looking directly at someone and hit them in the ears. You know what I mean? Like, even if you don't see like that, like, people have done some testing and it at least appears like those hitboxes have gotten smaller. Anecdotally, I feel like I have died significantly less to the armpit hitbox. Like that was the meme this wipe had been that, and I have gotten armpitted by many a scav. And anecdotally, since the patch, I feel like when I'm at the death screen, left arm armpit is way less common, way less common. Now, I don't know how they do all this stuff and how they push all these knobs around, you know what I mean? But... Mm-hmm. But the arms are back, like arm armor is just like, and dude, and so like, I don't get it because in all the patch notes, it talks about like, armor, like damage, like penetrating armor. When something penetrates, blunt damage when hitting armor, it's all talking about armor, but something is happening here. Like, so like one that friendly guy, I think, did really quickly was like, he had an Arsas with M61 and he just had some dude stand to the side. So like shooting him in like the shoulder, and it took like 12 or 14 hits for the guy to die. Somebody did this, and me and Valiant did it too, just for the memes, you know, the mounted machine guns. He hit me and it took like 5 or 6 hits to kill me. Like, I was just like tanking the shots. And once again, I don't know what I thought was, maybe they changed the like multiplier of blacked out arms, because like arms, stomach, and legs all have a different multiplier, right, for when they're blacked out on like what the damage ends up being. I thought maybe they changed that arm multiplier to like a 0.7 or 0.5, or you know what I mean, like, but then apparently Airwing did some testing and it didn't. I don't know. All I know is that arms be tanking, bro. Arms be tanking. They fixed some blunt damage things, which is lame. So now even if your armor's like not getting pinned, you can like die to like crazy blunt damage. It appears as though, apparently, you know, correct me if I'm wrong in chat, but apparently no fam.
You just sounded, I'm sorry, you just sounded like the apparently kid.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently. correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think NoFam and Airwing haven't been able to like get fragmentation to happen. I've heard this. But that was something we thought happened in the patch, and then it got rolled back, and then it came back again, and I think they maybe have taken away fragmentation. I don't know. I, as usual, don't care enough to do the science here, so I just kind of get the TLDR from the people that do some of the experiments. All I know is that, like, canted chicken wing meta is back. It seems like arms are just tanking shots. But I don't know what the... but I just don't know what... I just don't know. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what the old values were. I don't know what the new values were. I don't know how many shots, like, it. I don't know how many shots it used to take to die to the M62 or the M-Think. So, you know what I mean? So you see these clips, and these clips look crazy. It's like, oh, my God, he took 13 shots to the arm. It's like, maybe yesterday he took 12. Like, maybe it's not that big of a... But because you didn't know what the answer was yesterday, and you see the answer today, maybe... It's hard to tell, right?
Yeah, all I know is I just pulled up the old Battle Buddy, and it should have been like 4 M61 to the arm to kill you.
Oh, it's definitely not that.
Yeah.
It's definitely over 10. Now. Just direct hits to the arm.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's got 70 damage.
Oh, do you have in Battle Buddy the amount of damage the mounted machine gun bullets do?
Is that the 12.7 times 108 millimeter? 88 pen, 182 damage?
Gotta be.
The B-32? I don't know if that's it or not.
Yeah, mounted weapons. Yeah, 12.7 by 108. Yeah.
Should two shot you in the arm.
Five.
According to old back in the day.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Think about it. Even the M61, it's 10 damage. If you said 10 bullets, 70 damage, that's 700. Even 700 times 0.6 multiplier is still 420.
Yeah.
Blaze it. so.
Blaze it. But what's, you know. Oh, yeah. I literally have the clip. It's going out on my highlight video tomorrow of Velian shooting me in the arm. I think 5 times. With the mounted machine gun before I died. Yeah, so I took 4 shots, which would be essentially 800 damage. 4 shots, because it literally does 199 damage, the tracer. So 4 shots, 800 damage. I had 28 HP left after the 4th shot. So what's 800 times 0.6? That's without.
I typed 800 divided by 69. Sorry.
69?
Also nice. 800, you said, times 0.6 is 48.
480?
Sorry. I typed 80. 480.
Okay. So yeah. So even at a 0.6 multiplier, that should have done 480 damage to me, but I had 28 HP left.
And it should have also done more than that, because
yeah,
the 60 damage to the arm should have been unmultiplied. Right? It's 60 for the...
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then everything after that is 0.6.
Yes. So, yeah. So, more than that. So, it's weird. So, they did something, and I don't know what it is, man. So it's hard because, so, you know, stuff gets moved around, time to kill, this, and that, and the other. Some, you know, it better, it's worse in some situations because it's weird. So, you know, like, it always feels like this, you know what I mean? Like, we never get, like, a good test, because it's like, we've wanted them to remove fragmentation for a really long time because I think that would help time to kill. You wouldn't, I haven't heard anybody say this, but you wouldn't be crazy if you then see a clip of a dude, you know, pop, 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 M61 just nailing someone in the arm and they not die. And you go, what the hell did they do? Time to kill is too long. But it's like, what, you may bring back fragmentation, but you're not like getting, it's not a one-to-one. So it's hard. Like, time to kill is always swinging around. And it's always been like that in Tarkov, right? Like, you know, you've always been able to take PST, GZH and just like 38 shots to the leg before they die. But it's been varied levels of consistency, and so now we're in another weird spot where some things feel better, like fragmentation is being gone. There's more blunts damage now, which feels weird. The arms are absorbing a crazy amount, but that might be because the arms have a bigger hitbox and the armpit has less of a hitbox, so we're dying to one taps less, but it's just like, seems like the pendulum never rests in the middle. You know what I mean? It's like one tap city or I'm shooting this guy 800 times. So,
and at no point at any part of the process between from when I had a fucking calculator and everything was working exactly like we thought all the way to they then change the way it works. They then break the way it works 75,000 times. Yeah. Then they change it and break it and change it and break it. And at no point in that process have we ever known what the intended behavior is.
Yes.
And real quick, correct. Did you see the tweet that we got from Karapi? We both got tagged in. He basically said, I swear, Jesse Kazam and Veritas, you need to read this. Dota is adding some features to be live tested by players who want to do so. This is how Tarkov should communicate each change they make on their patches. They're literally asking the players what they want to test. I'm going to read one of them.
Okay.
Okay. Modifier key filter bindings. So this is like the initial set of Dota Labs features included. So this is like patch notes, basically, okay. for changes. Targeting commands in chaotic environments can be challenging, and misclicks can be devastating. So, first of all, they already recognize how hard it is as a player while also empathizing with the player.
Yep.
Dota does the best it can with your inputs, but sometimes it really does look like you wanted to Laguna Blade that creep. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, there's some context there. I don't get.
That's like pwn that noob. Or, yeah. I'm sure the creep is like a mob or whatever, right? But this new feature allows you to bind modifier keys that, when held, will force your target selection to enemies, allies, creeps, or heroes. Which targeting methods are the most and least useful in practice? What are we missing? So it's like, we made a change. This is what we want. These are the questions we want you to answer.
Oh, what? I can imagine that in a patch note.
I want to read a couple more because this is just so satisfying.
Imagine.
High visibility local hero health bar. Dota team fights can be hectic, and sometimes in the chaos, it's hard to keep track of your hero. This option significantly changes the styling and readability of only your hero's nameplate. Does this help or does it introduce even more visual chaos? Overlay map. It's sort of just like the mini map, but it's large instead of small and transparent instead of solid and is full screen instead of being isolated to the corner. We have a bunch of questions, including but not limited to, is it helpful for your playstyle? How do you interact with it? And what do you wish it did? Can you imagine knowing what the changes were, knowing the reasoning behind those changes,
knowing
what they want from you, and knowing what questions they want to be answered for themselves going forth?
I'm crying. There's a tear. Yeah. The dream. The actual dream, dude. To, like, acknowledge the problem in the game, like that first one. You know, saying like it can be complicated, acknowledging like, hey, there can be a visual clutter and like aligning and everything can be devastating. You know, we got the news, what was it, like 2 weeks ago that the dude, I don't know if you saw this, I don't even think we talked about this. The dude turned in the collector, got an error 228 and didn't get his kappa and got an official support message back saying we don't recover lost items.
Sorry, it's beta.
Yeah. So these guys, we have them in patch notes. We saying like we understand like this happens and it's devastating when it happens. You know what I mean? Like, so that's just, yeah. That would be really nice.
That's like the kid losing his gold medal because of some stupid ass rule. BSG. If you gave a Kappa contender to Pestily 5 years ago when you first introduced it, give him the fucking item. You know how to do it. It would take you 2 seconds. Just do it. It's an easy PR win.
The first Kappa container ever in this video game was given by a dev to a streamer. And this guy that actually accomplished the goal can't get his? Nope. Not buying it.
And it's not like you can... They could look at it as a... It's not like he's lying.
Correct.
The dude said he has it. You can't trade it or sell it.
The dude's response wasn't like "F you." Blah, blah, blah. The dude said, "Can you reset the collector? I'll go find the items again." And they said no. I was like,
"Can we get it like a petition?"
I know. I was like, "Can I grind Kappa and give it to you?" Like that's scuffed.
All right, Listen, it's going to be really hard for me, but I'm willing to take the L and to boycott Tarkov until this man gets his cap.
I'll
take it for the team.
You would do that for this guy?
I would do that for him. You know, I'm not a coward, okay? I've got principles. I'm willing to take one for the team, and I'll boycott Tarkov.
Damn.
It'll be the best boycott.
I don't know why.
I wasn't going to say anything, but this?
They talk about my boycotts. I'll boycott better than anyone.
They say nobody can boycott like I can.
I told them I said boycott. I'm going to do it. I'll be your guy.
But for real, though. Yeah. Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy. It was, it was February 26th. Oh my God. Poetic. The wipe happened December 22nd, December 27th. Okay. It was February 26th. By the time they fixed the ability to just vault into almost every single locked room on Shoreline and Streets of Tarkov, virtually destroying the economy, a bunch of the keys were worthless and whatever. Took them 2 months to address that, which I understand it takes time to code to fix, but like the point I'm illustrating is like their response to him for their reason for not giving him the Kappa was it's a beta. I'm saying the reason we're not like freaking flipping tables when your economy's in shambles is because it's in beta. It being in beta is the reason you should give it to them. You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Yeah. We've been vaulting into marked rooms for 2 months getting free stuff, and you won't.
That's just one of those things. Like, I'm sure what happened is it went to the support. They basically have like a blanket rule for you lose items.
That's what I was figuring too. Yeah.
You don't get it without if I was the customer service person, I'd go, I'd get up off my desk, walk into Nikita's office and would be like, listen,
bruh,
boss, I know we say fuck off to everybody who wants the shit they lost, but I mean, think about Reddit and Twitter. Let's just fucking give him the, okay?
Normana.
It's such an easy W.
Yep.
Right? Like, it's so easy.
Yep. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. So, I don't know, man. That was weird. Anyways, so yeah, the patch notes. Oh, that was all like a diatribe from this concept of like, imagine if we knew what the intended design was around some of these changes, right? Like, because that's the thing. It's like, we get patch notes that talk about four things. We see a lot of changes around three things that weren't mentioned in the patch notes, and we don't know what the intention of the things in the patch notes and the things that were changed outside of the patch notes are, so it's hard to, like, judge if it moved the needle in the right direction or when we see some of these crazy outliers, like, because nothing in the patch notes would explain why I can take four 12.7 by 108 millimeter. Like, nothing in the patch notes explained why I can take 800 damage to my arm and be alive. So, because it's not in the patch notes, but something obviously changed, but we don't know exactly what changed, and we don't know what the intention of the change is, what's the feedback? What could the feedback possibly be other than clips and assumptions and Reddit threads and Twitter threads, right? Like, because what else could it be? So I'm not saying be negative and be toxic just because, but like from a high level, what else could it be? What is the expected result from the player base? If we're not going to talk about what was changed or why it was changed, it's like, dude, I don't know. You're just going to get a bunch of freaking clips and tweets that are people are confused. I don't know.
Here's the problem though. In order to do what like the Dota devs did, wow. Nice alliteration there.
Do what the Dota devs did.
To do what the Dota dev did. You have to be in touch, super in touch with your player base. Yeah. You have to know your game and the challenges associated with it. You have to be confident enough that you can basically, like, I almost want to say, almost like be vulnerable
yeah.
to your player base.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You're admitting you don't have all the answers. You're admitting that.
And you better be ready to have the question answered. What were some of those questions in here? What are we missing? Literally, I'm reading the three things. What do you wish it did? The second thing ends with, what are we missing? The third thing ends with, does it help or introduce more visual chaos? If you're going to ask those questions, you better damn well be ready for some responses. And that's yep. where I think the breakdown is. You know what I mean? They could say, what are we missing? We'll be like, here's what you're missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah. A few other things, a few other random things. They, you know, buffed some of the armors, which is good. Some of the aramid underneath the soft armors got upgraded from class 2 to class 3, which makes more armors usable, which is good. They made some changes to the BTR. The BTR is much less buggy, which is great because I think the BTR is legitimately one of the coolest additions to streets. It rides around. You can get in it. It's cool. It doesn't just like murder everybody now, which is pretty dope. Fix some of the, it says, you know, audio and sound positioning on Ground Zero and streets, Lamau. Few bug fixes, incorrect AI movement speeds. Yeah, right, dude. This is crazy. I don't have any, like proof of this, but for weeks now, we've been like, where are the scavs on streets and a few other maps where it's just like they're gone? And streets used to be the one, like, I remember seeing a tweet where like Desmond got 80 scavs in one raid on a streets raid. So I was like, ooh, let me see how many I can get. And I got like 68. Like, it was just like, I mean, the scavs are on streets. Dude. Fix the possibility of AI falling through the ground in certain cases. After this patch, the AI was back. I'm pretty sure the AI was just spawning and falling through the floor and just like living underneath the map on streets. Cause it like it just boom, the scavs are back. So
did you have better performance during that?
No, because I think they were all just underground. Fix the incorrect objective area for capturing outposts. Dude, this was just a funny one because, like, capturing outposts used to be on the pier. And then they made it in the resort. But then as of this wipe, it was back on the pier. And we all thought that was intentional. And it was only until they tried this patch when it went back to the resort. But then they had to roll back the patch. So then it went back to the pier. And then when they did the patch, now it's back at the resort. And every time it did it, it was like resetting your progress if you had any on shoreline. So it was just like, it was just like four separate times capturing outposts changed this wipe. It was crazy. Boom, 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 boom. The only other things worth noting are fix the algorithm of fog generation and its density on locations. That definitely broke the algorithm of fog generation and density on locations. They had to do a follow-up patch because, A...
They alpha tested that at the TwitchCon in that bar that one night with me, you, and Sealable.
Dude, you couldn't see it.
I was literally sitting... I'm sorry, I have to interrupt to tell this story. It was... We were like at... Was it TwitchCon, right? Like yeah, 2 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
We're sitting in a bar, me, dude. You, Sealable, you know, whatever. Yeah. And the DJ was...
Bro,
4 inches to my right, just like, and he was like 87 years old, I remember.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
He just
yeah.
like put the fucking fog machine, which was just like,
literally like, pointing at our table,
just spraying like pink smoke directly in my face. Just,
yeah,
and
that's basically what streets looked like for 2 days. I noticed immediately. I spawned into a streets raid and I was like, was there just a fire? Like, you know how like it's like 3 blocks away there was a huge fire for like 2 days? Just if you look that direction, it's like black fog. You know what I mean? It's not just like, you know, a low cloud. It's like black fog. And I spawned into a streets raid and I was like, what did they do? You couldn't see 27 meters in front of you. It was just this black soot. It was super weird.
But is that, wait, is that... Was that on just one map, or was that...
It was, I don't know, because I pretty much only play streets, so.
I was going to say, like, is that, you know how people were saying, like, oh, Interchange looks way nicer now, all this stuff. I'm like,
oh,
could it literally be the, it looked nice by accident?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I would vomit, dude.
And then the other fog thing, bro. Damn it, I don't think I have it. Dude, there's a clip. There were two clips of Willers. Dude, the fog on the horizon was tied to your eye line. And when he leaned, the stretch of the entire map, the fog would lean with him. And so, like, he would position himself on a building where, like, down to his left was, like, a bunch of buildings, but you couldn't see it because he was so far away. And he would look this way and then lean, and then it was perfectly clear. You could see everything. The fog, dude. It was crazy. He was like, what the hell? Dude, I was like, that is the most spaghetti code, like, nonsense. This is what I said about that. I said if you gave 10 BSG devs 3 weeks, they couldn't do that on purpose. Like, that was just like some freaking wires crossing. Dude.
Bro, I'm pretty sure I was just watching a Flat Earth debate where they were talking about the luminiferous ether plane above the Flat Earth.
The luminiferous ether is exactly...
Is BSG trying to... Are they telling us something, bro?
Dude. It was
Flat Tarkov.
Crazy. So, like, 2 days later, they did a patch and fixed the fog, the leaning, and the, like, it looked like it was on fire. It's so unfortunate, man. Like, do you think that Tarkov is so foggy? My brain would think that the fog would tax my system. Do you think the fog is there? Is there something I'm missing where the fog prevents me from seeing things, so therefore they don't have to render? And are they trying to save performance there?
It's, I mean, with my limited non-game developer knowledge, there's a world where I'm sure the fog has some kind of performance implication. Although not if it's like, that just makes me think that it's, that they did like the easy non-dynamic complex fog, like maybe the, but there's a world where there's like a noteworthy performance hit by having fog. There's also a world where they can artificially turn down like the LOD and the shadow detail and all of those things. They can crank it down without you noticing it.
Cause I think the fog is bad all around. And I get frustrated when I think it's bad and it's taking my frames. So, but that's when I started thinking, like, okay, maybe I'm looking at this backwards. Maybe the fog doesn't take resources, but the fog hides things that my game that doesn't have to render and it saves resources. I am not against fog. I just think the way Tarkov does it is so bad. It, like, it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not aesthetic. It's not a vibe. It doesn't, like, I can't find the word. I literally just had it and it left me. But, like, it's not, it doesn't give, like, a cool feeling to the map. It's weird. Like, some fog on foggy days is, like, yeah, like, that it's atmospheric is the word I'm looking for. Sometimes it can be. But, like, in Tarkov, literally, I was on streets. And streets is a really good map to show this because not many maps have verticality outside of the map. So I got my Voodoo, right? And I scope in, and like 20 feet in front of me, I can't read the graffiti on the thing. And I don't move, and I just look up, and you just look up past the fog, and you're like, that skyscraper in the background, I can count how many AC units are on the windows. It's like, It's not realistic. It's not immersive. It's not atmospheric. It's just like, I just can't see. And the distances that are used are just crazy. You know what I mean? Like, go outside on a clear day. You can see 100 meters, man. Like, I just promise you can. Get some binoculars. Get a scope and take it off a gun and look. You can see, bro. Like, it's the distances we're talking about, if there's a little bit of fog, if I'm on Sniper Rock looking at RUAF, you know, if it's a 600 meter line, then cool, whatever. Let's introduce a little bit of fog. But like, why are we doing this at 30 meters? You know what I mean? It's super weird. And it's just like, and so I don't know. Once again, maybe it's a cheat for performance. And I was looking at it kind of backwards, but it's just weird and bad and over, it's just over the top. You know what I mean? I don't like it. And on streets, you can just really, really tell, because all you have to do is look up and you can find a skyscraper and you can count the windows. I can count the fire escapes on those bad boys 600 meters away, but I can't read the graffiti. And then separate from their intended design of like how densely fogged they want it, the generation of that fog is scuffed. I was on Shoreline today and I was getting a little sassy because like I think flashlights are like OP and Tarkov, and every time when I get frustrated when it's like sunny day outside and some dude 20 meters away, you know, peeks me outdoors with his flashlight and I can't see him at all, you know, and I'm always like, and people
outdoors are, the sun is in your eyes and you're blinded completely.
And dude, and people are always like, dude, these flashlights, man, have you ever taken an X400 or Surefire and shined it in your eye? They're meant to be so bright, da 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 da, whatever. But I was in Shoreline because I played Shoreline all day today. I literally took out my rangefinder. I was in the middle of East Wing, and it was 27 meters to the wall in front of me, okay? 27 meters to the wall in front of me, and there's graffiti on the wall. And I can't see the graffiti on the wall because it's super dark in there, and I turn on my flashlight and I can't see the graffiti on the wall. It just goes from like 18% gray to 30% gray, like the actual color. Like it's just a brighter gray. But with or without the flashlight, if I just touch my W key, the graffiti shows up. Like you actually see the fog like absorb around the wall. And you can see the graffiti with or without the flashlight. But if I hit the S key then, and I've got this super bright flashlight that's supposed to blind you in broad daylight from 80 meters away, and I can't see. It's crazy. So like, that's another one of those things where it's like, I think their intended design for the fog is too much, and something be busted with like the fog and how it renders and when it renders and how it renders indoors versus outdoors. Like it's yucky. It's yucky. Jesse Kazan, 2024. It's yucky. I don't like it. So, only other thing was in Tarkov, this they got to really quickly. I actually think it was the day after or 2 days after I first saw this, they responded to it and they fixed it in a patch. But, and it was weird because the timing of this was weird. This first happened, I first saw something about this the day before this patch, and then I think it was the day after this patch they fixed it. So it, like, the bug I'm about to describe to you wasn't a bug that was caused by this patch. It like either has always been there and nobody knew about it, or it randomly appeared, then they did this patch, the bug was still in the game, and like the next day they hot fixed it. So it was like a weird timeline of how it came about. But basically, if you were standing up, say I'm standing up, there's waist-high cover in front of me, and you shoot me, but don't kill me, like you shoot me in the arm. If I crouch, the game saves that state of where I was crouched. If I then stood up on your client, you never saw me stood up. And I can walk away and leave that area, but you completely invisible to you.
Whoa, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, and it was repeatable, and I saw a million people do it. Valiant
is this
did
the
it.
One location you were saying?
Anywhere. So if you took damage and then, like, changed your state with, like, a crouch, you could then just, like, get up and run around, and the person that shot you couldn't see you. It was super weird.
Do you disappear or do you just stay there?
You stay there.
And what? You shoot them and they go, and never die?
Yeah. It's like super weird. And then like, and then there was all sorts of stuff. And then you could like zip back or do something. It was weird, but it was like bad. mind, dude. But literally, I think 48 hours after I saw the first video on it, they was fixed. So that's not in the game right now. Or no, maybe if you... Okay, it was a separate thing. I guess that was a separate thing. If you, it was if you moved, it would fix itself. But as if you stood up... The reason why I got confused was because literally 2 days ago now, this is why they fixed that bug. But then literally 2 days ago, I have this clip I can show you. I was playing with Ham, and he had taken damage and he healed up. And we were talking about where we wanted to go. And I was like, all right, let's go. And then I looked over at his screen and he was 200 feet away from me in a different part of the map. But on my screen, his character was still just crouched in a bush. And then we figured it out. And he was running around. I mean, and then he ran up to me. He was like, can you hear me? I was like, no. He was like, I'm right in front of you. I was like, shoot me. And he shot me in the leg and I took damage. But he was still right there. And then I don't remember. I'd have to watch it back. It was either me taking damage or me like initiating a heal or something. Boom. He just appeared in front of me. And it fixed itself. And like, we just ran around the rest of the raid.
That is the most literal version of desync.
Yeah.
Like desync is not lag.
It's yeah.
When you are your state is unsynchronized with the server.
Yeah.
And that's like not a like location update.
Correct.
That's like a binary.
Correct.
Wow. Holy.
But the thing is with that bug, the other one, which was separate because the guy in chat was saying that other bug, as soon as you moved in your XY position, it would fix. But what I'm saying is that bug and the bug I experienced with Ham is just raising questions to me. Are there bugs in the game where you can cause that to happen? Where like in that other bug, the old one was if you took damage and you crouched, it would cause that desynchronizing of the server and the client for those two people. I don't know. We weren't paying attention because we were just playing a raid. And I was like, why is Ham just so committed to sitting in this bush? It took us forever. So I don't know what happened, but it's just raising questions on like, are there weird bugs where if this and this happen in such a way, it just desyncs. And the thing was, is like, he was asking me like, do you hear that? Like a grenade blew up at Lexos. And I was like, no, I don't hear anything. So we identified, he was like, yeah, it's you. Like, you're way out of sync with the server here. And I was like, what? And then by the time we realized that it fixed, while I was healing, he just popped back in. And so, but then it just worked the rest of the way. So some weird shenanigans going on there for sure. Weird shenanigans.
Horrifying.
Yeah. Horrifying is right. So... Very weird. Very, very weird stuff. I don't know. Yeah. So weird stuff, but that's pretty much the Tarkov stuff. That's
yeah.
No new patches, nothing really going on. I mean, we're 2 months into the wipe, so I'm not really expecting like events to happen anytime. I think we're just in that like kind of cruise. We're cruising. Nothing crazy's happening. They're doing patches. They squashed, you know, a few of the bugs pretty quick, which is good. So that is the Tarkov stuff. Before we move on, I do want to take a quick second and thank the sponsor for today's episode, and that is Athletic Greens. I personally first gave AG1 a try. About like a year ago now, actually, just as a degenerate gamer who felt like I just felt bad and sick all the time. And I just legitimately remember feeling like I don't consume like sustenance, like vitamins or minerals, like Hot Pockets and leftover pizza 24/7. I was just like, there's like a world that I'm not getting.
You sound like me. Tell me more about this. Yeah. Sounds like me, my man.
And since drinking AG1, legitimately, I really did feel better and less like sick and had stomach problems less often. Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins and minerals, pre and probiotics and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powered by simple one scoop mixed with water once a day, every day. So my experience with that was legitimately good. I think, you know, with this kind of stuff, there's never like I never want to be that guy that's like, there's a magic bullet. This is like full body health in a bag. For me, it made so much sense because literally I felt bad and sick all the time. This is something that provides a whole lot of things that I'm not getting in one thing. And I started doing it, and I started doing it consistently. And like legitimately, I felt a difference and I felt better. And I think like even when I was talking with some of the Athletic Greens people, like talking about how it was a step for me to like motivate me back towards eating healthier. Cause it was like, I do this thing and it makes me feel better. I wish I felt like this all the time. Maybe I should stop eating exclusively Hot Pockets. You know what I mean? So it was like, as a stepping stone and as something that can supplement and is easy. And like they said, a habit that can be formed that can like genuinely contribute to feeling better and feeling more healthy, was definitely a positive experience on my life. Each batch of AG1 goes through rigorous testing, so you know it's safe. The ingredients are sourced for absorption and potency. It's been a pretty positive experience on my life. Super simple, easy, and it's got, like I said, a ton of stuff in it. So AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a partner. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/podcast. That's drinkag1.com/podcast. Check it out. Thank you so much to AG1 for sponsoring this episode.
Bro, did you see my tweet February 29th, late night?
Oh, God.
I said, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but after a quick test in Tarkov Arena with just one late night game, turning binaural audio off after the wipe with whatever changes may or may not have been in the game might actually be less bad than with it on.
I do remember that.
So remember how I was complaining about the audio, just something felt off.
Yeah.
It was almost like the gunfire was mono.
Yes. And I've experienced that many times.
And I don't know if this correlates with Tarkov. I'm not going to boot up Tarkov to even try and test this. I can only speak to Arena.
It does not.
I've been saying like have binaural on.
Yeah, same.
Basically forever. And somebody was like came into chat and was like, I just solved all my audio problems. And I'm like, great, here we fucking go. And they basically said turned off binaural, and I'm like I'm already ready for And I'm like, and this was after we had played. This was like one of the drops days where I was like done after like 4 or 5 hours and I was playing like lawn mowing sim or whatever all day long. And then it was like late night. I'm like, I'm going to do one game, turn off binaural, give it a shot. And all I can say is the sound was weird. It wasn't a blind test.
Okay.
And of course, I'm the guy who's done the audio blind. I understand all of the considerations, right? All of the ways in which like you can be misled. And I was trying to do a little bit of kind of science during the match. There were cases where I felt like I could hear a little, like where it felt like, with an asterisk, I'm not sure. It felt like I could tell the difference between in front and behind.
Yeah.
And left and right. It was far less smooth, but far more binary.
Okay, yeah.
Which might have been why it was easier for me to tell front and behind, because of the whole left-right, you have that intuition.
Yeah.
Whereas like before, when it sounded like the gunshots were in mono, I'd be running, and I would hear bang, 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 and I would be doing this, right? And like, usually I'd go bang, 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 and I'd do this, and I'd hear it on my right ear, and it's like, okay, I know they're behind me. you know, because I turned right. And if it sounds centered and I turn right, and it gets louder, then I'm like turning towards it, you know. So, And all I can say is that in that one game, it was weird. It was a little awkward sounding, but there was no ambiguity. At no point did I feel like I couldn't tell where anything was coming from or where I was being shot from or anything like that. So for all I know, they put an exclamation point before the variable, or, you know, so which is basically like not instead of, you know, it's false instead of true. Maybe they made it so that binaural's off when you click the box off or when you click it on, or I'm like, I don't know. But for some reason, it seemed better with it off. I feel like they broke something.
Yeah.
And I hesitated to say this, but I'm like, listen, it might be 3 years before they fix whatever this problem is.
Yeah.
It might be a bug that they fix in a week. And then my temporary advice to like turn it off is going to be bad advice after that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I turned it off, and it definitely didn't feel any worse. If anything, I think the checkbox doesn't do anything in Arena, or like, I think at best it doesn't do anything, or it was better. I clicked it off by your recommendation and then just like didn't pay enough attention. All I knew is that all day I was still yelling that the audio sucked. But it definitely didn't feel worse.
Did you restart the game? Because I almost forgot.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Here's what's crazy, though, is that it made so little difference to me. Once again, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, but it made so little difference that I was starting to wonder if the box did anything until I booted up Tarkov. I booted up Tarkov, forgot that it shares settings, and played for 2 hours where nonstop I was complaining to chat. I said, what did they do to the audio? They updated the audio today. Like, I was hyper.
There's one config file.
I was hyper aware that something had changed in Tarkov. I played Arena for 3 days. You said, turn it off, see what happens. I turned it off, couldn't tell a difference. I booted up Tarkov, hadn't played Tarkov for a week. And immediately, and it was like 2 hours later, Reverse was like, didn't you turn binaural off in Arena? And I went to the settings. Sure enough, boom, right back to how I was used to it in Tarkov. So like, that proves that something is weird in Arena, because I was starting to wonder if I would have been able to tell. But after a week of not playing Tarkov, I was immediately aware of how different it sounded with binaural off. So something's weird there for sure.
Okay, yeah. So that leads me to believe that the audio is different.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that like maybe, because I haven't played Tarkov in a while, and I was thinking like maybe Arena got Tarkov's audio.
Yeah.
And you know, I just remember Tarkov's audio being scuffed. So yeah. I just I don't know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the next time I get into Arena, I'll like mention it to Nikita or something.
Yeah.
Did I talk about on the episode after the wipe for Arena that my first game? Remember how I've always been the one that's like, I've played 10,000 hours and I've never seen a fly hacker.
Yeah.
My first game of Arena after the wipe, I'm playing on Bowl. And the first round, my teammate goes, roop,
no,
roop, just teleports shot. 80 feet in the air across the way. And I just see, this is before the countdown is even started. Boom, dead, boom, dead, boom, dead. And I'm like, you fucking piece of shit. So I'm VoIPing. I'm talking a ton of shit to the guy. I'm like trying to kill him before the round. And he was like zooming up all the way around like the fucking stadium. So it was like impossible for me to kill him.
Bro.
So I instantly got onto fucking Telegram and start messaging, you know, my contacts at BSG. I'm like, this guy in my game right now is cheating. Like, here's his name. And I was playing against Nice Guy, who was on the other team.
Oh my God.
And you know, we were talking a bunch of shit to the guy, and the dude was like, yeah. I'm like, dude, what's it like knowing you're not going to get through the first day of the wipe? Like, your account's not going to survive. And he's like, yeah, they're not going to do anything, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, brother, man, I'm talking to Nikita and friends as we speak. What's it like knowing that your account isn't going to last? He's like, man, they're not going to fucking listen to you, little bro. I was like, brother, you picked the wrong game to fucking rage at. By round four, he was disconnected from the game, permabanned.
Hell yeah, dude.
I was like, that felt good. Felt real good.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
What a clown.
What a clown. Dude, I will say I've had more sussy-wussy experiences this week in Tarkov. I don't know if there's some freaking something happening, but it's been, yo, yesterday I was playing, I was a scav, and when I'm scavving on streets, I'm just like running, right? I'm running for shots. I hear shots. I run over. I see this dude standing over a body, and he's got one of those like cartoon masks on, you know, the big one with like the big red nose and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, and then he shoots me and kills me. And I was a PMC, and I was like, oh, I was like, the mask saved him there. I was like, I thought it was a scav. Like, I didn't want to lose my karma, and I hesitated, and it saved him. So I was like, he was wearing that mask, right? So I clicked inspect profile to see and make sure he was wearing that mask. I have 750 PMC raids in the wipe. I think 900 total between PMC and scavs. I inspect this profile. Nothing suspicious. Just, he killed me. I wanted to see if they had the mask. Dude, 3,200 raids. 0.5 KD. Like 700 run-throughs. I was like, like 200 hours. I was like, I don't know about that. Like, it was crazy.
You know what that makes me think? That makes me think he was botting.
Yeah.
Running those macros that you spawn into factory and like forklift or whatever.
Yep.
And you sprint around to like level up something. And then he probably like, it probably doesn't, it's like not configured to like throw a grenade at his feet.
Yeah.
So then he like comes back, sits down at his thing and like exfills or something.
Yeah.
It was so that something his like weird. Survival was the survival rate like mega low?
The survival rate was low. Yeah.
So I wonder what the run throughs. I wonder what the run throughs even do. Like,
it was just so funny because I wasn't even suspicious of him. I just wanted to see if he was wearing the stupid mask. And then everybody was like, hold on a minute. So I was like, I think we're going to send a report on this guy, boys. It was wild, bro. Wild. So, yeah, I don't know. It's been a little oofy these days. He was wearing the mask, so I was right in hesitating. Anyways, so other than that, the only other arena stuff is I participated in the Hunt Premier tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend. What I will say is Hunt Premier was the best tournament I've been in as far as like they just had it locked down. Like everything, like you remember Twitch Rivals, dude? It's like a cluster. The rules change every 30 seconds. Like, literally, the most recent Twitch Rivals, we lost, like, 60 points because we didn't know until 4 hours into the tournament that if you got to run through, the item you extracted didn't count. Like, it was like, this was the complete opposite of that. Everybody was on time. The tournament started at 12. At 12:03, we were deploying into our first raid. So, like, props to them. They handled that really well. I will say that, like, it very briefly felt really fun to compete. Like, I'm not a very competitive person and I don't compete. And like, I just don't really care. And almost immediately it was like, oh yeah, like this is fun. Like, I can see why people do this and like grind and compete and, you know, go pro. Cause it's just like, it's like fun to like be there and on display and like, just like, it's fun to like have a time and a place set aside to like try hard, to just try hard sweat. And we just, like everybody was just like immediately hit a brick wall of like, this is not the game for this. Like everything about this game is terrible for competition.
I saw Trey tweeted something like, he's like, I had fun, but it sucked.
He was like, his tweet was, just won the arena tournament. The very first thing I did after was uninstall the game. And I couldn't have like aligned more with that sentiment.
Jesus Christ, dude.
The amount of times that games went to the cleanup crew. And once again, like the way the cleanup crew, whether you love it or hate it, the
dog
way
shit.
It's
in, I don't know, but nobody loves it.
Correct.
There can't be any. I refuse to accept that any human being loves it.
Correct. But if there was a human being that loved it, even that guy would have to acknowledge that the way it's implemented is terrible. When the AI spawn, they don't spawn evenly distributed around the map and then push the person closest to them. They all spawn inside of each other.
A birthing pod.
All of their XY positions are the same. And they all go, this guy's the closest to us. And they all push that guy.
And you ever notice that almost always one of the bots kills another one of the bots?
Always.
Like, I think I think he's inside of them shooting.
Yes. Yes. So, like, so to have it come down to that, where, like, you just get picked as the one to be pushed. Like, I lost a round. I was trying to clutch it. It was the last person. And I brought it down from, like, a 1v3 to a 1v1. And Killa and Tagilla pushed me. And I was like, well, okay. Like, so, like, the amount of times it ended like that, or, like, weird stuff that seemed like hit reg, or, like, absolutely no audio. Dude, you want to know how scuffed this is? Because I think we've talked about this before, where, like, in Arena, when gunshots are happening, it, like, compresses everything else.
Which Nikita seemed to acknowledge that that was a bug.
So what do you think, how would you implement a strategy around?
I would make it so that, well, first thing I would check is to see if there's any kind of, I'd read the documentation on whatever the audio engine was that they were using, unless it was internal thing.
I mean, like, if you were competing in the tournament and you were forming, like, a team strategy around knowing that information.
I would say, hey, I'm going to push into the helicopter. Can you mag dump into the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it happened. Our team was doing it. Hyper Rat had the PKP, and we'd be like, shoot. Like, it's not the players. It's just the game. It's like, it's just not. It was. What was nice was that, like, everybody that competed kind of, like, knew what we were getting ourselves into, right? So, like, there wasn't that much salt because we all kind of, like, you just know. You know what I mean? So, we beat Blueberry Gabby's team day one. That meant we moved on. We lost to Trey and Hutch's team day two. Then we played Blueberry Gabby's team again in the loser's bracket. We lost to them. It was all GGs. Everybody played really well. It was nice. I was just excited. A, I was getting kills. And B, we never lost to a 7-0 shutout. It was always like, because in the tournament, it was first to seven, not first to five. And so, like, every time it was like 5-7, 6-7. There were a few games where I went 6-6 and then, you know, one person 4-7. So like both teams. So it was pretty even. It was pretty fun. We ended up coming in third. It was like,
what percentage of the rounds went to cleanup crew?
Man, hard to give a percent. I mean, probably like 40%.
Okay, that's lower than, I think, probably because my guess is that whoever was invited to take part in that event is a different crowd than, like, the people that I played with in that tournament.
Yeah, yeah. These weren't, like, teams. It was, like, captains, and then it was just picking homies. I had never once played. Endra was our team captain. I've never played with Endra. I've never played with Hyper Rat. I've never played with Voither, and I'd never played with Vonza before. I know who all these people are, and they're all cool people, but it wasn't like serious. You know what I mean? So Virtus Pro was playing, 90% of the rounds would have went to Cleanup.
Yeah, so like the people that we played in the tournament that I was in, like they had grenade lineups.
Yeah, yeah.
With timings and shit, right? Yeah. I assume it was that was slightly not, I don't want to say more casual, but like less
For sure
sweaty than that. Okay,
yeah, lot of like run and gunning, you know what I mean?
Because that was like 80%+ of the rounds went to Cleanup Crew.
For sure.
So if yeah, yikes.
We got to use tier 3 kits though, which was fun.
was like everything unlocked?
Yeah, they unlocked everything. Because it was custom games. It was all done through custom games. So we all used our own accounts. And it was just all done through the customs where you unlocked tier 3. You can set how many rounds to win. Custom games are fun, by the way. I don't know if you've done them yet.
Yeah, that's what we did for that tournament. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, there were custom
like
games. You had to like type in you had to choose the server. And
they like expanded on them with the wipe. I don't know what you could do before, but now you can select what tier kits are unlocked for everybody participating.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
Yeah, you can select how many rounds to win. You can select specific map. You can like select a lot of stuff. Also, spectating is crazy. Dude, the last... We were doing practice.
Oh, right.
We were doing practice rounds for the tournament beforehand. Bruh. I was like, it was my last one, and Glorious hopped in. So we had 11 people, and I was like, "Yo, put me in a spectator, dude." You go in, you hit like F or something, and you separate the camera. I was just flying around, getting footage, dude. It was sick. I could do that all day.
Were there any, I doubt that there were features like depth of field or like you could change, could you change the speed that the camera moved?
You can change the speed.
The scroll wheel?
Yes, you can change the speed.
You could like slow pan?
It was sick, dude. I was like, dude, it was sick. I was waiting like a round would start and I was low and like the garage door would open and everybody would run out and I would back pan and then up to a top down. It's sick, dude. It's sick.
Have I not been saying this for years? Ever since I did my Mordhau one like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Dude, it was so like I could all day. Well, customs are just fun because you can use tier 3 kits and play with your friends. I would do that all day. I was talking with like we need to get like you, me, Seal, Vel, or just like we need to get like a 5. And just like get like the community in, just like every round, it's just like a new group of 5 people playing. No, it doesn't cares about winning. It's not XP. It's just like community engagement, streamer fun. Like that's like the only way I want to engage with Arena right now is like customs, just like hanging with the boys. You know what I mean? Like I have no desire to grind. You know what I mean? So, it was so the tournament was one of the things of all time, for sure. The only other Arena thing, did you see what they tweeted today?
Negatory.
At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which has already happened, we are planning to install a technical patch in Escape from Tarkov Arena. The patch will take approximately 3 hours, but may be extended or required.
The game will be white, lol, imagine.
These are the patch notes. This update will focus on fixing issues with hit registration. End of patch notes.
Are they trolling me, dude?
Dude, that's it.
Are they trolling me? That is the ultimate troll.
Yeah. So I think that's our confirmation, bro. Yeah, there she blows.
I'm flabbergasted.
That's it. 3 hours. 3 hour patch. I haven't played today. But
I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah. Him, Reg. Dookie. But hopefully it's better now.
I want to say two things. What's the background to that? Someone asked in chat. So last week, I want to say simultaneously, the first is, I guess I was wrong, clearly. Yeah. The second being, I never said there was no hit Reg problem.
You were wrong. I wouldn't say anything you said last week was wrong.
I just said I haven't experienced or seen anything that I would attribute to hit Reg. But see, this is why I'm really fucking careful
100%
with my words.
Yeah, it's why I don't think anything you said last week was wrong. The TLDR was like, you were saying, at a 10,000 foot view, what you were saying is, I think a lot of the things that people say is hit Reg isn't hit Reg. I haven't seen any clips that I would say definitively the only explanation of this is hit Reg. And then two clips were showed to you. And by the end of that, you were like, these are the two that are the closest I would ever call to hit Reg things.
Yeah.
Like, so at no point were you like, there's no hit Reg issues in Arena. The point you were making is there are so many issues in Arena. Some of the things you think are hit Reg aren't hit Reg, and we got to be right about what we're right about.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it was basically an hour of Veritas kind of trying to defend, like, I don't know that there are hit Reg issues in Arena. And then
I mean, to be fair to not me, I was really skeptical.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of clips about fucking Tarkov shit, right? People are always like,
yeah,
I got clips, and they're always, it's always like, bro, I get cucked by X. And then I watch and you're like, shots 1-4
clearly missed.
Clearly shots, you know, it's like kind of that, right?
Yeah.
So I am admittedly just like so fucking jaded where when someone's like, bro, I'm so sick of X happening, I'm like, my default these days is, what's the real explanation?
Yeah.
No, it at this point, it's not even show me the clip. It's like, I mean, I don't say it, but I'm instantly thinking, what's the alternative explanation? Because they're probably wrong about it.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. So now I'm like wondering, because I never experienced it. I just wonder if it was like, was it a temporary thing? Was it something that was something I experienced that I didn't see? And if so, how can I improve my perception IRL of the thing? Anytime any fuckery happened, I'm clipping it and I'm watching it back.
Yeah, same.
And I never saw anything that was hit Reg. Honestly, it was always that I missed and I didn't think I missed, or I couldn't see that I missed because of the fucking blood splatters and the blur and aim punch.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, should I have been malding about the game?
Should I have been giving in to that base instinct that wanted to blame the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, that, I mean, that was the only patch. It was a 3-hour downtime. So, I don't know. I don't really know any homies that are still playing. It's crazy. It's like, I know, like, hear me. You know, I know that this is not the tell at all of a game's success, but it's a little bit more so of a tell of a game. Like, this is success, like a competitive game. Like, the day after the tournament, there were like 800 people in the Twitch viewer category, like watching Arena. Like, it's just nobody's watching. None of the people I know are playing. None of the content creators I know are playing. No one that I know in chat that's talking is playing. Like, it just like drops ended. Tournament ended and it was like woof. So,
bro, if the sound was good,
yep,
I'd be playing.
Me too. The sound,
like if it just had COD sound,
yeah,
like COD 4 sound.
Yep, the sound and the
if it had Steam audio,
the sound and the hit Reg. I don't
know. There's no problems with hit Reg.
No, sorry. I didn't even mean to.
I'm kidding. I was kidding.
I didn't even mean to say that. The hit Reg is on my mind. The sound and the netcode. Let me show you. I don't know if I can throw this clip in the Discord.
I don't even need the netcode to be better because at least the netcode is both ways. The reason why sound is so annoying to me is because if you give me bad net code and then someone else bad net code, I think it's like a 50-50. If you give me good sound and someone else good sound, I feel confident that I'm better at sound whoring than the average player.
Yeah.
So I am just better when there's good sound.
Watch that clip. I just sent it to you.
Because when people are like, people are like, bro, I've got my speakers on and I've got Netflix playing. It's like, and they're out killing me, right? And it's like, and then I just blast music and it doesn't prevent me from, you know, whatever. Okay, I'm watching this. Okay. So you died. It's too late for me to be plugging in my laptop. Otherwise, I'd show it here.
Just really bad, do you think?
Oh, wait. Is this the thing you showed me last week? Or is this just a similar clip? I think you showed this to me. Where the dude wide swung out.
Oh, in that... Okay, I might have shown you. In that clip, I synchronized it. Later in the clip, I synchronized the to the muzzle flash of his first shot. Both perspectives.
Oh.
And I slow it down.
Oh, that's why it's not a Twitch clip. It's a local clip.
Yeah, I was going to post that to Twitter. It's just like...
So you synchronized it on the muzzle flash.
Yeah. Of his first shot.
It's always like breaks my brain.
So, basically he's just like around the corner and he can see my entire body and is shooting me in the head and I've never see him. And yeah, whatever. He could be high ping. What
confuses me though, so you synchronize it on the muzzle flash.
Yeah, that might not have been the best place to synchronize it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to think out loud. Because you died on your screen first.
But I can see his muzzle flash because I can see him shooting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you would expect... I guess you'd expect that, right? Because you need the server's acknowledgement that those shots killed.
So basically what I was saying was as a result of like I would be playing Arena if the sound and the net code was better. Like yeah, I know you were saying like, yeah, if he's got bad net code and I have bad net code, it's 50-50, but like I just don't care if it's a 50-50. I don't care if I'm doing that just as much as he's doing that. That happening to me makes me want to uninstall the game. Even if 50% of the time it happens to me and 50% of the time I administer it, I don't like it, just makes me want to uninstall the game. You know what I mean? So like, and therein lies, I've been thinking a lot since our last episode, and we came down really hard. Like a few people were like coming in and being like, God damn, like you guys went crazy on Arena. And here's why. I've literally been like ruminating on this since last week. We have talked ad nauseum about how the core issues of Tarkov, the cake, not the icing, the cake is the big three or four. Netcode, desync, cheaters, audio. Like these things, if every other like system if you're in your game works, if the economy in your game works, like if those things are all good, these things are bad, you have a bad game. Now, even though we've acknowledged that, we have also actually, even though we're perceived by a lot of people as Tarkov haters, we have actually also defended that each one of those things are not easy to fix.
Yeah.
And that in a game that's been live since 2017, a game that was supposed to only service 10 to 20,000 concurrent players that now sees 400,000 or 500,000 at a time, you know, that's hard to do. They've upgraded engines multiple times. They've done a lot. I've defended a lot that it's hard to just fix the audio, right?
Well, I want to say cheaters is significantly harder than netcode, which is 1,000 orders of magnitude harder than sound.
And sound, yes.
Sound, especially in our arena, should be not trivial, but like not as hard as Tarkov, but it shouldn't be that big.
What I'm saying is that we acknowledge that those are the biggest issues of the game, but we have also publicly and many times acknowledged these things are hard to fix. They're hard to fix in a live game, right? They're hard to fix without breaking other things for the players playing it. The reason why I went so hard and balls to the wall of disliking Arena is because I don't have that level of remorse because they didn't have to launch the game. Every shred of defense I've offered up for BSG has been the game is live and it's been live and they didn't know it was going to get this popular and it's really hard to fix a live game. They had 6 years of extreme criticism and scrutiny around their audio and their netcode. And then they said, we hired this other team to build a game from the ground up. And they did it just like they didn't have EA, like a publisher, being like, this goes live this day or we take our money back. And I acknowledge that I don't know all of the inner workings behind the scenes. Maybe that video was right and they had no money and they pushed it out. Whatever, Reddit thread, whatever. I don't care. What I'm saying is that for me personally, that is why I don't have any remorse or defense. Because it's like, how is the audio that bad? I genuinely don't understand. You had 6 years. You've done three different audio. You had your own audio engine. Then you plugged in Steam audio. And then you plugged in Oculus audio. Everyone's talked about the audio for so long. You built this game from the ground up. You had smaller maps. Like,
Did they build it from the ground up, though,
okay,
is the thing.
Not from the ground up, but that's how they positioned it early on. Like, we got this separate team, and we were able to learn a lot from Tarkov, and we're going to... Okay, not from the ground up, but...
As far as I can tell, it's a copy-paste.
What I'm saying is that they had all of the knowledge of the past 6 years. So with Tarkov, yeah, okay, whatever. I can see XYZ. Maybe it's not as easy, even though I'm frustrated. With Arena, I get no audio killed, and then I get that bad of desync, and I'm like, I'm uninstalling. Like, how? So I just don't have... That's what I'm saying. It's like, you released the game. You said it was going to be competitive. You guys, like, I just like, how? Like, there's no universe. I accept the Earth is actually flat. Before I accept the Virtus Pro team played that build and didn't say, hey, the audio sucks dick. You know what I mean? Like they were literally like bragging about how they were getting feedback from competitive players publicly. And the audio is this bad. Like I am overcome with this, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I just, you take this game back, I'm not playing it. Yeah, I just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm with you, but from a different angle, which is, as far as I can tell, the game, as far as I can tell, what they did is back in like 2 years ago, okay, they branched off of Tarkov.
It. Yeah.
They forked it, okay?
They really forked it.
And then, yeah. And then built a new UI and matchmaking and whatever system, like, you know, the kits and all that stuff. Basically, like, everything before you get into a raid is all different, but, like...
Yeah.
The entire actual controlling your character experience, the world... The way they render graphics, literally, I don't know about you. I've got like pretty high settings and everything, all of the textures on the walls popping in and out,
all the
spray paint and everything, it's just disappearing. I'm sitting there, I go to hold an angle and everything's fucking flickering.
Yeah.
Which is what happens with Tarkov, you know, if I'm in reserve or whatever.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, it's just a copy pasta of the game. And this is a beta.
Yeah.
So
I
guess I'm trying to say I apply the same thing that you're feeling about Tarkov, Arena. I feel about Arena and Tarkov, and I'm not surprised. And
yeah.
And that's why I'm like fucking over both
and
games.
Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. But once again, like my standard comes back to, like, you just, like, yeah, they knew everything. They had 6 years of experience. They knew the main problems of Tarkov. They knew the main pressure points. They kept doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on the competitive nature of this game. They're literally bragging about getting feedback from some high-level competitors, and the audio is this bad, and the netcode is this bad. And so it's like, yeah, maybe they didn't build it from the ground up. Maybe they forked off Tarkov, but they still had 2 years to fork off Tarkov and fix the audio in these isolated, you know, maps. You know what I mean? They still had 2 years to be like, how do we do this? Because the reality is, with how scuffed the tier system is currently, with how unbalanced some of the kits are, I really promise you, I would be playing Arena right now if the audio and the netcode were better. If it was at the very least a passable video game.
Yeah, like put aside issues with balancing or the issues with the preset system or the progression or whatever. Those are just annoyances on top of, those are the fucking cherries on top of the shit cake.
100%.
And by the cherries, I mean shit nuggets.
And after all
on
this,
top of the shit cake.
And after all this time, and after the biggest, like, the biggest patch, the best icing upgrade on the shit cake in Tarkov, we finally got some, like, cream cheese frosting. It's delicious. This is the best patch ever.
And then we got find out Arena. That it's not cream cheese.
We got Arena, which was shit cake with shit nugget toppings. And then 2 months later, we got a patch, which was just more shit nugget toppings. I was like, I don't know, man. And listen, freaking, yeah, whatever. The comments are going to sound dramatic. I was just like offended, like personally offended that after 2 months, the audio was still this bad. The hit reg was still this bad. The desync was still this bad in a game that they doubled down again and again. That's supposed to be competitive. Because once again, most of what we talked about last week was the kits, the unbalanced presets, the tier system, all that stuff, and how it's like makes for a not fun competitive experience. I've talked at length about how I wish Unranked was in, whatever. They keep doubling down on competition. How are you going to, like, just like if Valorant's audio was this bad when it launched, like, oh my God. I don't get it. So,
Well, now
it's just
maybe
not a video game yet. Like it's sub video game. It's sub beta. This is a Unity build test. That's all I'll allow this to be called moving forward. I can't.
But brother,
believe
that's
it.
But that's Tarkov though. Which is why
it's worse. The audio is worse than in Tarkov. I mean that. I genuinely mean that.
By an insignificant amount. Tarkov has much more complicated. There's stairwells and all that other shit.
Yeah.
It might be like less bad. Tarkov has dog shit audio. Arena has worse.
So let's say what I just said wasn't true. It's not worse. It's the same. The point you're making is, Jesse, like, that's Tarkov. That's the game you play.
And that's why I've been... there's two things. That's why I've felt that way for so long about Tarkov. Now people are catching up to that I was right all along. I called it years ago. That, but then also now use that to try to understand where I was coming from, where the whole we need more money for whatever after it's like, you just sold me this fucking shit and now you need more money for this thing that you shouldn't even be asking. 150. That's why I was even more bitter and angry. Does
about
that make
the microtransactions?
Sense?
For sure. No, but what I'm saying, I want to go back. I went on the rant. I said this is sub game. This is sub beta. It's sub alpha. It's garbage. And you said that's what Tarkov is. That is why I'm more offended at Arena, because in Tarkov you can go through a whole raid and not find anybody. Sometimes, like, you loot, you kill some scabs. Maybe I kill Kaban. I didn't run into PMCs, and I don't experience those audio issues. I don't experience those desync issues. They made a video, an entire separate video game, out of the worst parts of their video game. So that's why that's what makes it more offensive to me, is that, like, you're like, that's Tarkov and that's always how it's been. You're right, but there's like huge swaths of normal gameplay in between. And they were like, let's take the two shittiest parts of our game, make a game out of that, and then tell people it's going to be competitive. That's why I'm so offended.
It's like, and you, I think we both have slightly different angles on the same right conclusion.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I think it's more, it's worse. Like, this is less bad than Tarkov being the way it is because this is like the early beta. Like, they need to, they want to get it out and like get feedback. Whereas yeah. they've had feedback for almost a decade and it's not better. And coupled with the fact that Tarkov proper, it wastes your time and there's, you lose things.
For sure.
At least yeah. the bullshit is there's no real consequence and my time isn't wasted.
For sure.
Which is what makes it even worse for me for Tarkov in that I could spend 2 hours and have 4 minutes of AIDS gameplay
yeah.
and the rest of its menus and me malding in the stash.
But what so, I found, and once again, like you said, two perspectives on the same conclusion. What I found is I was yearning for the time wasting because I was just getting dicked every 7 seconds. At least give me 10 minutes in between the dickening. Like, I was yearning for Tarkov to waste my time because Arena, I was just like, dude, what the hell? Is it just keeps happening. I felt myself going insane. Like, I felt myself going insane and legitimately I thought like my brain was frying because I would do that for 8 hours and then I'd wake up the next day and I would like see Ham on Arena and I'd be like, oh, let me hop on Arena. And then I would just hate it for 6 hours. Like, I was like yearning for the time wasting. I was yearning for the menus. I was yearning for like being in the video game and not having an announcer and 4 other people in Discord and an audience and alarms. It was just like, but I like, I totally align with and see what you're saying. And like you said, it's just two perspectives on the same end result, which is that Arena and Tarkov are both pretty much unacceptable at this point. I don't know. So yeah.
Wow.
I was surprised at how heated I just got. It's crazy because I haven't played Arena all week. Like, I'm not even, I just like, it just makes me mad.
When are we playing Helldivers?
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God. I there's another thing I tweeted that I don't think we talked about. I'm sitting there about to get my fucking gallbladder out. I'm waiting. I got the IV hooked up. I'm literally just like sitting there and I have to wait like an hour. So I'm just like on my phone, whatever. And I overhear, so like there's like these bugs and you got to kill the bugs. And the whole thing is about like nationalism and you want to like spread democracy. And then I hear like a female voice like, wait, so like it's like a game? And he's like, yeah, it's all about what was the term he used? not jingoism, but like maybe that's what he used. I don't know, but he was just like, and I'm like, is he talking about and I like hear on the other side of like the thing, I hear like I think one of the surgeons telling one of the nurses all about Helldivers and she was completely uninterested, like she gave zero fucks, but it was just the weirdest, like, what, I did not expect this crossover.
That's hilarious.
I was cringing for this guy because I'm like, what are you doing?
Stop,
like,
she's not interested.
Yeah, but at the same time I'm like, yo, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Oh boy. Well, that's the stuff. That is the Mauled Cast. Somebody just said the Mauled Cast. Therapeutic as it's always been, now on to our sponsor. No. Literally though, like, it's so funny. I yell here so I can not yell on stream. You know what I mean? Like, it's this is therapy. This is where I get it all out. And still to this day, everybody's sentiment after the tourney was like, I want this game to be good. Like, I want it to be fun. Everybody sent, Hutch did a tweet. Trey's talked about it. Like, everybody's like, dude, this game has so much potential. I want it to be fun. For as dramatic as I get about it, I don't think it's as dramatic as, like, it's dead, DOA, never gonna, as much as I just hated on the game for the past 2 weeks, if tomorrow they were like, we did an update, updating the audio and the netcode, I'd be back in being like, please have fixed it. I will play your game.
Yeah, for sure. So if the next patch tomorrow said, you know, fix an issue where binaural wasn't work, I'd be like,
yeah, just come again. Let's go. You know what I mean? So, and they did the hit reg thing, dude. That's not enough. Just that one thing. But arena people, go forth, be merry, and report back. Tell me if there's a noticeable difference in the hit reg. Let me know. So, but yeah, that is the stuff. That is the Tarkov and arena stuff for the week. We haven't mentioned it yet, but we really were supposed to mention this earlier, I think, but I totally forgot. But if you if you like our conversations and you're interested in more conversations about other things, check out the podcast Patreon. We just dropped the
craziest, literally, it's the best episode we've ever done. I've learned more about Jesse, about his secret plot to bring me into his religion.
Yeah, to convert Veritas to Christianity. That's not a joke, by the way. That is what...
not a joke. A literal Jesse had a plan to convert me to Christianity.
Yeah.
And ultimately, unrelated to me, because I had no idea. I had no idea. Ultimately, finding his way out of his faith, and it's the most personal, fascinating story. I've never been able to ask someone the questions that I asked. There have always been the questions I've wanted to ask, like, a religious person.
Yeah.
But thinking about asking those questions to someone who was religious now would be feel bad. It's a fantastic episode. It's in our Patreon.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. It was a good one. It was a good episode. It was like the first time I had talked to somebody outside of my own circle about it. You know what I mean? So it was like, It was good conversation. So, if you're interested in more of this and conversations like that that are outside of gaming and more personal and more fun and sometimes more just like light answering questions, but sometimes like super deep and introspective.
We have our own Discord, and we literally go through and so far we've basically answered all the questions.
Yeah.
And if we haven't, it's like we'll get to them kind of, you know, we are on like a little bit of a delay with them. But we if you have a question, you can go on our Discord, ask it, and we'll do our best to answer it. And we basically haven't had any. We've talked about things from life-changing events to college stories to family life shit. I mean, like, you know, we'll talk about whatever. If you're one of those kinds of people that is a chatter, it's probably not for you. I'm just saying, it's probably not for you. If you would come up to me and Jesse at like TwitchCon and you'd want to give us a hug, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're the embodiment of the chatter emote, then probably not for you. But yeah, so patreon.com/thepodcastpod. Patreon.com/thepodcastpod. Also linked in the description of the show notes if you're listening to this on podcast platform or on YouTube. But yeah, as always, thanks for hanging. Thanks for the support. We appreciate you, and we will definitely see y'all on the next one.
Get out of here, you filthy animals.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.